Hello, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, welcoming you to our exciting and informative podcast titled The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter, bringing you interesting discussions and conversations related to the vast and important subject of heart disease and heart failure and everything related to that in today's ever-changing world. I'm extremely honored to have as my special guest an amazing leader in the medical and global communities, Carla Mulhern. Carla attended Roger Williams University, receiving a Bachelor of Science in Legal Studies. Carla is the Executive Director for the Southern New England Market for the American Heart Association. Prior to joining the AHA, Carla was the Area Director at the Rhode Island Chapter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Carla's hobbies include physical fitness, running road races, writing poetry, and getting out into nature. Carla currently resides in Gloucester, Rhode Island, with her husband Brian, son Jonathan, and their dog Rerun, and has been an active leader and volunteer in her home state. Carla, welcome to the Heart of the Matter.
Thank you for having me. Nice to be here.
Oh, good. This is a pleasure. We're going to learn a lot, I know, with all of your insights. So we begin by talking about heart disease and stroke as it affects women. And while I don't let our discussions here be bogged down with statistics, it needs to be said that nearly 45% of women by the age of 20 years old are living with some form of heart disease. And if that's not disturbing enough, the younger adult generations of women are less likely than those who came before them to be aware that heart disease is their greatest health threat. The other important fact that is that despite the devastating toll of COVID-19, heart disease remains the number one cause of death in the United States. So let me ask you first, the first subject, which is women and heart disease. Why do you think that there is this misunderstanding about women and heart disease?
I think, honestly, I don't think it's a misunderstanding. A lot of the women that I've talked to sometimes are afraid to come out with it. They're afraid to, they don't realize it's their greatest health threat, but also too, they really don't want to talk about it. And besides that, some of the symptoms too that I've learned just talking with someone recently are much different. With women, I was talking to a woman the other day who actually had the jaw and back pain. She had no idea what it was. And she ignored it for a day or two and then said, this is odd, and kind of looked up the symptoms on the website and said, I've got to get this taken care of. But even myself, a few years ago, before even coming here, I probably would have ignored that for a little while.
So what can we do to curtail the trend? That is, what steps must be taken to turn these statistics around as far as women and heart disease?
So one of the things I found out, one of the staggering facts is one in three women will die from heart disease. That number, it's ridiculous, and it needs to change. Awareness is critical. 80% of heart disease is preventable. 80%. Part of that right now is knowing your family history, going to talk to your doctor about heart disease. And now, especially with COVID and people being at home and not moving around as much, getting out there, making those healthy food choices, going for, you know, the chicken and a salad sometimes, not the pizza that I would love to have, but getting out there. Now the weather's changing, things are getting nicer. Taking those little steps can really, really help you take care of your heart.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, going back to what you said before about the symptoms. My first symptom, this is a long time ago, 1998, I ended up needing an aortic valve replacement from a congenitally fused bicuspid aortic valve. And the only symptom I had was back pain. And I'm not a woman, but the notion that it's only chest pain, that even in men, that's not necessarily the case, but particularly in women, because women's bodies are different than men, it's more prevalent that they have the back pain, the jaw pain, the nausea, and sometimes that will get dismissed. But I'm thinking that the role of stress plays in the development of heart disease. I think with the roles of women in society now as being both ones who are raising families and at the same time working full-time and even taking on more and more leadership roles in business, maybe lends to more heart failure as well, with the stress being at the core of it.
Yep, absolutely. And I had a scare myself a few years ago, and my doctor had said to me, you have to start taking care of yourself, getting some stress relief. And stress is a huge deterrent with that. It's just getting out there and kind of taking some time. We actually had something recently where someone came in to the Heart Association and did it virtually, but kind of taught us how to meditate and just taking some time to just kind of breathe and refocus. And just even, I will say, just getting out there, taking your lunch break. Those little things can really, really help. And like you touched on, those symptoms that the men experience, which is, you know, the common chest pain and the discomfort, the other symptoms that are more likely, like we said, men do experience this, but it's more likely with women, was the shortness of breath, the back pain and the jaw pain, and the nauseousness and vomiting too. Even though men experience that, it seems that the women are more likely to experience those symptoms.
Yeah. And what happens is they go to the doctor and they say they're nauseous or their jaw's bothering them. And, you know, they kind of dismiss it, even themselves. I think the women dismiss it almost being their own worst enemy, saying to the doctor, oh, it's probably stress. My son's getting bullied in school and whatnot, you know, so that they don't necessarily take the tests, the diagnostic tests that might reveal that indeed they have coronary artery disease. And I think that's so it's missed, which is really frightening. And then we end up with, you know, a heart attack or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's I think the awareness is key. A lot of the women that I've recently spoken to, some of them are really afraid and they shouldn't be. They're afraid to come out. They seem to really almost be embarrassed. And I honestly think being able to tell your story and being a heart survivor is something that you should be really proud of. It makes you a warrior. And we're really trying to shine a light on the fact that women and men should tell their stories, because I talked to a woman the other day, the woman that I said experienced the jaw pain and the back pain. She, you know, was talking about it. And I said, because of the story that you are sharing right now, I heard it. You're probably helping save my life among other lives with just telling people about it. Sometimes, unless you are really paying attention to it or looking up symptoms online, you don't really think about it. You get along with your daily life. I would be jaw pain and back pain a couple of, you know, months ago before I started. I really probably wouldn't have thought about it right away, some of these, but being able to be aware and hearing other people share their stories really woke me up and a lot of other people. And like, I've got to start really looking into my health and these signs and paying attention to your body and what it's telling you, especially in days like this. It's really, really important.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's frightening. Nobody wants to be sick. And certainly that's one of the reasons we kind of get into denial when our symptoms are confusing, you know, the nausea and so forth. We want to dismiss certainly the frightening idea that we might have a problem with our heart. But the best thing is to be aware and be educated and be informed on, you know, what it is that our bodies are going through. With the wealth of information that patients now have at their disposal on their computer and TV, it's only recently become more accepted for patients to play an active role in their own treatment decision. Do you think that most women are empowered enough to ask their doctors to go the extra mile and do those tests to rule out the heart disease as a reason that they may be feeling under the weather when they go to the doctor for looking for answers, you know?
Yes. And we're really, we just had an amazing, we do a campaign, Go Red for Women. And it's usually the month of February, the full month of February. This year, we had a great response in the state of Rhode Island and Southeast Massachusetts with TV producers and anchors and radio, just really getting out there. We recently had a radio personality who reached out to me the day before the Go Red kicked off. And she said, I have been struggling with this heart condition for a year now, and I was embarrassed to bring it up. She almost felt weak. And she actually went live on the air and talked about it and brought it to the surface. And the amount of people that called in and the response that she got, I literally said to her, I said, you have saved lives by doing this. It's so important to be able to do that. And with the Go Red for Women, we just had our digital luncheon. It wasn't in person like we had hoped, but the stories that were told, it really, a lot of people had said to me, I'm going to make sure that I pay attention to these signs. I'm going to go to the doctor. It's just the awareness is what my job right now is, to make sure that everybody, you know, in the community and therefore really knows what these signs are and really finds ways to take care of themselves and all of the things that the Heart Association does to help with that as well in 1,000 different areas.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that. So I'm on the golf committee for the Long Island Golf and Tennis Classic. I'm on the golf committee for the American Heart Association. We've had to cancel the last two times because we couldn't get outside. But what's interesting is I think we've found ways to pivot and get more awareness out there, even through the virtual, you know, way of doing things that we're doing now. And now finally we'll be able to get back together again. I know the Golf Classic is going to be the first event that is allowed to take place again since COVID. So we're pretty proud of that. We're making sure that all our T's are crossed and I's are dotted with regard to the CDC and what we're allowed to do as far as numbers are concerned. I have a little insight into that because I'm involved with contact tracing for Long Island, New York State. And in the time of COVID-19, something interesting that Dr. Jahar, he wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal. He's in my hospital, wonderful cardiologist. He wrote an article about how many less people were seeking help, particularly in the emergency room, for fear that they would either catch the virus or more significantly not be seen at all. What effect do you think that had on women and heart disease and even other physical issues that they might have had that they were putting on the back burner?
Yeah, it's a good point. And I was actually speaking with a gentleman today who is with the EMT in the state of Rhode Island. And we really had to stress that when you have these signs, it's so important to call 911 at the first sign and to let people know that hospitals are safe. Hospitals are a safe environment, especially for people who have those symptoms, and to be able to call and an EMT come on to answer questions and to let people know he's done it, he's been there. That it is really important. And those warning signs, getting that call to 911 and getting to the hospital is what can ultimately save your life. So you really don't want to take a chance with that. We've had to, you know, tell people over and over again that it is a safe environment.
Yeah, it's loosening up a bit, but there was a point at which you really couldn't get an appointment. So it was challenging. Even me, I have basically a class 4 heart failure, and I couldn't be seen in person either. And I'm fortunately, I'm stable. I have an LVAD and I'm doing well with it, but I couldn't get an in-person appointment either. So many other people with lesser problems, but hopefully that's gone. You know, that situation is gone because I think a lot of people got in trouble by not calling the doctor or the ambulance, you know?
So, right. One of the things that we've been kind of laser focusing on now, which it really kind of excites me too, is looking at doing blood pressure awareness and pop-up tents and kind of doing, you know, adopt a community or adopt a clinic where we work with sponsors that actually it's not, we're getting away from just sponsor coming in or a business coming in and buying a table at an event or something like that. We really want to see more community awareness and be able to, some of those places, some of those, you know, communities where they're not able to get to the doctor or they don't have that financial stability to be able to do that, to be able to come in and provide blood pressure cuffs and be able to monitor some of these individuals that wouldn't ordinarily be able to go in or maybe don't have the monetary funds to be able to do that and really be able to see an impact and be able to really monitor and keep track of some of these patients and seeing them just have the awareness of their health and what's going on with their body.
Yeah, you mentioned blood pressure. So blood pressure is like the main symptom in both, you know, heart disease and stroke. I think it's the biggest indicator of both of those things. And it's a silent killer because there's no pain attached to high blood pressure. And it's such an easy thing to monitor. Many people go through their day not realizing that their blood pressure is high until it gets to be dangerously high. And then they first maybe get some symptoms at that point. But the blood pressure, if that's checked, you know, that's a really good thing on a regular basis. As you said, for people who may not have the ability to get the kind of medical care that others do. What do you think that there are some ways that women can maybe change their habits to lead healthier lifestyles? Is there a place now where we have to push that a little bit more?
Yeah, so we've been working now with healthy menus. We've been working with the Heart Association now with having some new ways of doing some recipes, different ways to be healthy. We've done some move more challenges now. So we're getting ready for our heart walk. So we've been doing some move more challenges, even within heart and without, getting your stepper and having some challenges. So people are getting out there every day, and especially me, the competitive person that has to win everything. It's good to get out there and be connected with people. When we're disconnected from people in offices and things like that, to be able to do something, even if it is at home or are, you know, with an app, to be able to have that until we can all be in person has been really great. And we've been getting a lot of people out there putting their steps in and getting out there every day. And it's been really helpful in being able to do that. Yeah.
My wife stays in great shape. She's in great shape, but she was walking today and she made the comment along the lines of what you're saying. She said she smiled at somebody and she hadn't been able to smile at somebody outside for the longest time. And she said how good it felt to make that human connection again, you know? So
It's great. And I think things are going to turn, but for now, we're really trying to keep the businesses that maybe all be working at home, keep them connected, keep them active, being able to take care of the steps and clock their steps, but also to sharing healthy recipes that once a week we do. One of our board members will do some recipes for us and some cooking demonstrations. It's been really great in that way when you're at home to be able to take care of your heart health.
Yeah, there's another guest that I had on a previous podcast that'll be up there soon. She invented an app. She was a nurse practitioner, and she, with a couple of design people, they came up with an app that keeps track of your sodium intake and your fluid intake. And they have recipes on there. It's a great idea, and it's on the phone. So, it's pretty cool. I'll give you the information about it.
Yeah, I want to know that.
Wonderful person, so bright, and she came up with this idea. And it's actually out there for people now. And in fact, I'll leave it in the discussion part of this particular podcast as well, because I think it's valuable to everybody. The American Heart Association, for which you play a major role as executive director in Southern New England, has many campaigns and charity events in many places now. Can you share with us some of the things that you do in New England and Rhode Island that people can participate in?
Sure. So I love the campaigns. It's a way, you know, we're really looking towards just getting communities involved and everybody together. So you're feeling like you're one big part of something fantastic. So we just finished up Go Red for Women. We had an amazing digital luncheon. Hopefully next year we'll be in person. But I have to say, for a digital world, we had something people registered and we had almost 300 people on a Zoom.
That's great. I was on one of those early in the year. I was on one of those where I guess I was being featured as an LVAD patient, but it was terrific. There were a lot of people and it was a charity event. A lot of people donated to the American Heart Association for the wonderful research they do in both heart disease and stroke now. Obviously, they're doing both. They're kind of together in that. Are there particular websites that people can go on about these upcoming events that you can mention?
They can go, obviously, they can go actually for anybody, heart.org, and they can look at those events in any state. You can kind of pick the state you want to look for and it'll give you all the events. So different states have different events going on. So most of the time it's usually, you know, Go Red for Women. We have our Heart Walk. We have some of the states have Cycle Nation where you're going out and cycling. Some people have are the heart balls. There's a lot of different, especially now with COVID, people have been really creative in different ways to fundraise. We kicked off a couple of new campaigns, which I really love. It's more peer-to-peer based. Right now we're in the middle of something called Women of Impact. Hmm. And we have women that are actually some are survivors. Some are actually family members of survivors. Some people have lost people. They're actually fundraising for 9 weeks for heart health. So they're doing a combination of fundraising, money-based, and also mission-based. So we really just had a CPR training. We had a gentleman do a Zoom training and got to train the women. And it was honestly, it was amazing what he taught, stuff that I didn't realize. It was fantastic. But it was something really different. And some of these women, you know, they all have their goals of what they want to raise. One of them wants to raise $50,000 for her 50th birthday. So it's really amazing to see that. And then we also do something called Teens of Impact, which is high school kids who are actually fundraising. And we also have something called Leaders for Life, where we have men and women throughout the state, different states, who will fundraise as well. And it's just been really great because they'll be able to bring their network in and people that maybe haven't been associated with the Heart Association. It's just bringing them in and just more awareness for their network as well. It's been really well received this year and been a nice added touch to our other fundraising campaigns.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I know that you're big on volunteerism. I think volunteerism is at the heart of the American Heart Association. One of the things that I, I know that you say as volunteers are what we are all about and who we are constantly striving to help. And so that anybody out there who wants to volunteer and become active with the American Heart Association, there are definitely, all you have to do is find your local American Heart Association and give them a call. And they'll tell you about all of these things that Carla is talking about as far as events that you can take part in. I guess that's true, right?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up too, Gary. I started, you know, you touched on it. I was in law, paralegal for like 20 years. and I was brought in as a volunteer for a campaign, and it literally changed my whole entire life, made me quit my career and change my whole path. Volunteers are what it's all about. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without them. And that's my main focus is our volunteers.
Yeah. And it's fascinating that you came from law and ended up in medicine, so to speak. but it's not uncommon. I'm learning as I meet all these wonderful people like you, that they come from all backgrounds and find a place to help people with heart disease and other medical problems. I think what I found as a speaker initially was that unless somebody was touched by heart disease in one way or another, whether it was their own disease or you know, a child or a parent or a sister or brother, they really didn't pay much attention to it. But with heart disease being so prevalent, more and more people are taking part in these initiatives and volunteering and contributing to society and their local communities and society at large.
Right.
And heart disease and stroke had touched your family as well in one way or another. Yes.
Yeah. So heart disease is prevalent on both my mom and my dad's side, more my father's side. My grandfather, who was my mentor, he passed away from heart disease. And then by some weird twist of fate, my husband was actually on air for a radio station. And it was one of those Sunday to Monday. He went in the morning. He had complained that night. The Patriots were on and they'd won the Super Bowl. So the next morning he went into work and he was complaining. He had a little bit of a headache. And he's like, oh, you know, hopefully I feel better. And he sent me a message saying that he still had a headache. He was, you know, going to take an aspirin and hopefully he was going to feel better. And then I didn't hear him on the next break. And his co-host called me and said that he had had a stroke. And thing that's so important, which we've touched about before, is paying attention to the signs. If she hadn't known those signs of a stroke and was able to call 911 and get him to the hospital, I don't know if the outcome would have been worse. He's doing great, full recovery. But it's one of those things that if she didn't know and if you wait, it's that time limit and it could have been a much different story. So it's just been, I'm grateful to the Heart Association and I'm going to pay it forward as much as I possibly can for being able to save my husband's life just with the awareness that they've put out there.
Yeah. And I think if people just go online, they can find fast, you know, you can find those symptoms of oncoming stroke that, you know, I've studied obviously, but it's there for everybody to see. It's really simple to understand. It takes a little time to learn these things, but you could save a life if you know a little bit about it. So I think it's important. All of us, you know, in the heart healthcare community, so appreciate your efforts, and you know, especially because your efforts are going to one day make heart disease much less of a threat and not affect our lives as it has. It's been my great honor to have you as a guest here on The Heart of the Matter. Folks, Carla is an example of someone with such selflessness who finds ways to positively contribute to our global heart and healthcare community. On behalf of myself and our listeners, I thank you so much for all that you've done in your community and in the global community and your incredible dedication to this work and certainly sharing this time with us. I hope we can do this again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. And continued good health to you as well.
Oh, you're very nice. Thanks. I'm doing great. I have wonderful doctors and nurses. They're watching me all the time. They know what I'm eating. You know, I have these, I take my INR, my blood tests every week. And my nurse practitioner will tell me, did you have a lot of spinach last night? Because she can tell if my vitamin K was up. And I even have a CardioMEMS, which is this device that is in my pulmonary artery that measures any fluid changes. So tell whether I've had too much salt or too much fluids, you know, in a given period of time. But it doesn't tell you why, which is what that app does. That's the interesting thing about that app I mentioned before. That tells you why your fluid is up. And it also makes you more aware of the sodium you're taking in, which most of us don't realize either. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. So there's all these things out there in the world for all of us. And thank you again. It was a pleasure having you.
And it was a pleasure being here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure. So that's our podcast for today. Please join me, Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, next time for another intriguing, informative, and entertaining conversation. Please visit our website at www.drheart2heart.net. That's D-R-H-E-A-R-T, the numeral 2, H-E-A-R-T.net, for upcoming podcasts, or if you'd like me to host an online presentation for your group or organization. If you'd like to be a guest on the Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter podcast, please email me at theheartguyspeaks@gmail.com. Our podcast can be found on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You just have to search The Heart Guy and you'll find it. And this is Dr. Gary Sherman, The Heart Guy, wishing you peace and hope.